And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house. By God, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Watch this thing. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion, because we are many devils who entered into him." And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Verse 22, and there was there an herd of many swine, feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then when the devil was out of the man, he entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and it came to Jesus. And it came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devil departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus has done unto me. Lord, I'm blessed in the reading and hear his word. Let me see it, please. Amen. Listen to the Lord. Eternal Father God, we thank you. Father God, after the songs have been sung and the word of God must go forth, Lord. We come asking, Father, that you would search us, Lord. Remove anything that should not be, Heavenly Father. We come confessing that we all have fallen short by word, by thought, and by deed, Lord. We thank you that you have more forgiveness in you than we have sin in us, Heavenly Father. We come asking that you would unstop our ears, so we're able to hear the revealed word of God, that you will open our mind, be able to process the reveal, and most of all, give us a yielding spirit, Father, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word, Father God. Father God, we come confessing that we all have brought in anxiety today, Father. We come ask that we leave in a better condition than what we arrived, Father God, because we truly heard the word from on high. Father, I come ask that you would search me. Remove anything within me that should not be, Lord. Father, I confess that I have fallen short by word, by thought, and deed as well, Father God. I come pray that I would decrease. And you continue to increase within me, that you speak to me and through me in a mighty way, this as only you can. In Jesus' name, the church say amen. I'm not even just for a thought this morning. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. True words have never been spoken. When we act up, act out, cut up, or spew out, you can be sure that the devil has a role. Amen. Such was the case of the possessed Gadarene. He was possessed not by the devil, but by many devils or imps of Satan, and he'd been in that situation a long time. In today's history lesson recorded by Luke, there is much we can learn about evil spirits and how we deal with them. There are three observations worthy of our attention this morning, and write these observations down on the back of your bulletin, please. The first there is the characteristic of evil spirits. First, there are the characteristics of evil spirits. If you want to recognize the devil when he shows up, it's good to know something about his character and how he operates. And if you're already a seasoned Christian, you should be able to spot the 10 characteristics of these demons that possess this poor man. Characteristic number one, evil spirits hold on for a long time and cause you to act abnormally, hurting yourself and others. The text says in verse 27, look at verse 27, that this man had been in this situation a long time. Second characteristic, evil spirits cause sinners to lose their sense of shame and conscience. Amen. They destroy your modesty, your intimacy, and your self-respect. Look at verse 27, it says, this man was running around naked. You see it in verse so far. Third third characteristic that evil spirits cause alienation from friends and family. Amen. They cut you off and force you to withdraw from into your secret life. They also cause society to withdraw from you. This man, verse 27 says, was living in the graveyard among the dead. Amen. Number four, evil spirits become angry in the presence of the Lord. They recognize Jesus when he shows up. They also oppose him and fear him. The text says in verse 28 and verse 28 that when Jesus showed up, the possessed man said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Number five, evil spirits control. Their evil influence and unrestrained nature come and go. First you come, and then you break into violence. Amen. Number six, evil spirits hate to be restrained. They will cause you to struggle against morality, justice, and discipline, and compel you to live loose lives without rules or regulations. Look at verse 29. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, as it actually means shackles. He was bound in chains and shackles, and he broke the bands and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. Number seven, the seventh characteristic, evil spirits take away a man's identity and destroy his self-image. Amen. Jesus asked the man in verse 30, the man his name in order to stir him to the memory of his past identity. And you may know somebody like this that their image has become so distorted, their issues have become so obvious that you're trying to recognize who they used to be. Watch this thing. Number eight, evil spirits are numerous and terrifying. The scripture says that Jesus asked the man his name, we talked about just a minute ago, and his name, and his reply was legion, because many devils were entered into him. A Roman military legion consisted of no less than 6,000 men. Right? So you can see when he replied that his name was legion, there was no less than 6,000 demons inside this man. So this man's situation was desperate at best, right? Amen. But watch this thing. Number nine, the ninth characteristics, evil spirits need to control a body to work their evil.
Come on now.
They use people to spew out their malicious, violent, destructive behavior. They take complete control and speak for the possessed person. Verse 30 tells us that, watch this thing. Your issues speak before your mouth opens up.
Amen.
Amen. Before you open your mouth, you can see people's issues and afflictions. I'll help you this morning. Here come that old crackhead again. Even if they haven't opened their mouth up, their affliction told you what their problem was. There goes that cheater again. Even if you have never caught him, his affliction is speaking louder, isn't it ready?
Amen.
We know how we call people. We like to label people. Hoe, prostitute, whore, hooker. Those are somebody's kids. And we got to stop calling people by their affliction and start calling them by their name.
Amen.
Right about so far.
Amen.
But watch this. And we tend to do that because if I can focus on your affliction, it keeps the focus off of mine.
Yes.
Right about so far.
Come on.
If I can talk about how bad your backyard is, mine don't seem so bad after all, does it?
Well,
I'm in that corner over there, thank you.
Well.
So the evil spirits need to control a body to work their evil. Characteristic number 10, though they are powerful, evil spirits are subject to the Lord's power. The demons may have been great, but Christ is the omnipotent or all-powerful final word. That 1 John chapter 4 verse reminds us of that greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
And what it's saying is that Satan may tempt us, but he can't make us do anything.
Amen.
He's the tempter, we're the sinners.
Come on now.
So we see 10 terrible traits of the devil, and yet with all these negative characteristics, they're negative, man is still attracted to the devil's power. My God. How else can you explain the infatuation with divorce, adultery, fornication, drugs and alcohol, or the mounting numbers of rapes, murders, robbery, embezzlement, aggravated assault, fraud, identity theft, illegal gambling, hate crimes, auto theft, vandalism, arson, and gun violence? My God. And of course, there's a solution for all of it. A very simple solution. He's called Jesus. My God, that's all it is. He's called Jesus. Jesus has more power than the devil.
Yes, he does.
Right about so far.
Yes, he does.
He simply spoke to the legion in verse 29 and said, go, and the possessed man was released from the devil's grip.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus has the power, but there are many sinners who just don't find that attractive. They would rather toy with trouble and stay possessed, as we say in our next observation.
Come on now.
Second observation, amen, there's a reaction of covetous people. The reaction of covetous people. The Gadarenes saw what Jesus had done. They had known the demon-possessed man. They knew all about his hopeless condition. And here he sat right before their eyes, healed and whole. Look at verse 35 and 36. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. The miracle was marvelous to behold. And you would think they would have rejoiced, but instead of rejoicing, there was fear. The question becomes, what generated their fear? And this is something that most Bible readers miss. I thank God you're here this morning. Jesus had destroyed their flock of illegal swine. Now watch this. Look at verse 31 to 34. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would not suffer them to enter into them. He would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Verse 33. Then went the devil out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. The Gadarenes knew they were not supposed to raise pigs. Pork was one of the forbidden foods. They were overwhelmed with fear of what Jesus would do next. Amen. Would someone with this much power punish them for their disobedience to the law? They were bound to be wondering if the Messiah had come to judge them and to destroy not just their property, but them as well. Watch this in elsewhere. But because of their sin and their callousness towards the healed demonic, they were bound to be afraid standing there face to face with God's Son. They were unwilling to repent of their sins and to begin living for God. All they could feel was fear. The text says in verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. They asked Jesus to leave, and he did. Watch this thing. It's dangerous to desire the world more than you desire Jesus.
Amen.
You can tip out into the world if you want to. You can play around in Satan's lair for a spell. You can toy around in Satan's attractive treasures. But one morning, church, you may wake up and find that Jesus.
Well,
1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Remember this morning, Jesus never stays where he's not by. Amen. Let me say this to you. One thing that Christ will always do, and one thing that Christ will never do. What will Christ always do? Christ will always save man where they are in their mess. What's one thing that Christ will never do? Christ will never dwell with man in their sin.
Amen.
Right about so far. And how do you know when Christ has left? Well, I'll help you this morning. The way you know that Christ has left is you lose your desire to serve him.
Amen.
Understand me. Many folks are saying, I left the church. You didn't leave the church. You lost your desire to serve Christ. Christ left you.
Amen.
Because you can't serve who you don't feel or see anymore. You obeyed your parents because you're in the house with your parents, and because you saw them, and you could feel wrong, didn't we?
Yes,
we got a lot of wrong folks in the body of God right now. They do everything they're big enough to do. But understand me this morning. You didn't leave Christ. Christ left you.
Amen.
And how do you see him? Well, if you look in the bathroom mirror, he should look just like you. So you can see Christ every day. And how do you feel under the presence of the Holy Spirit? So if you're doing what you want to do, saying what you want to say, going where you want to go, Christ probably left you a long time ago. You just didn't get the memo. Watch this thing. So remember, Jesus never stays where he's not welcome. And I love how God has set this up where man has free will. You can choose to serve or choose not to serve. But with that free will, man also chooses of his own to go to heaven or hell. God does not send anyone to hell. Man chooses to go to hell.
Amen.
Just as man can make the decision to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. How do you make the decision to go to heaven? You make the decision to live right.
Amen.
How do you make the decision to go to hell? You make the decision not to live right. But you can't live hell on this side and expect free heaven on that side.
Come on.
Right, not so far.
Come on.
Move right. You cannot. We're going to reap in the sower, right? You can't sow hell and expect to reap heaven. Third observation. The third and final observation. This is going to be quick this one. Watch this. The third and final observation is that of the spirit of a delivered man. Look at this. This man is a great example of genuine conversion. And we got a lot of folks who came to Christ not because they wanted their lives changed. They didn't like the prospect of burning in hell. But this man is one that was genuinely converted. When you come to Christ and you give your life to Christ, you're saying, you know what, my way no longer works. I need to do something different with my life. And the problem is you keep thinking that you know what you need to do different with your life. If you knew what to do with your life wouldn't be a mess in this right now.
Amen.
Right, am I right about it?
Amen.
If you knew how to govern your life wouldn't be a mess in this right now. Making the same bad decisions month after month, your life is like an old movie reel. The same bad scenes keep looping.
Amen.
You know the old movie reels, right? Where the tape break and the same scene just keep looping over and over and over again. Right. We didn't come to Christ in order to change. We came to Christ because we like the prophets of burning in hell. We don't want to change life. Watch this. The third and final observation is that of the spirit of a delivered man. This man is a great example of genuine conversion. As soon as he was delivered, he begged to be with Christ, to travel around, sharing the good news of Christ. He was on fire for the Lord and ready for ministry. But notice what Jesus Christ did. Look at verse 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He redirected the man. He commissioned the man to go to his own hometown. We think we know what God wants us to do, but only God has the playbook. Understand me. There are two things in life you have to understand not to confuse. Your godly purpose and your desire. Your desire is about you. God's purpose is about the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? What you desire to do is about you. God's purpose for your life is about him. I'll show you this. So we recommend, he commissioned a man to go to his hometown. We think we know what God wants us to do. Jesus redirected the man according to his father's will for the man's life. According to his father's will for the man's life. If you accept that Christ as your Savior, it's not about you, it's about God's will for your life, not what you want to do.
Amen.
Watch this thing. He knew where the man could best serve, here it is again, the kingdom of God. If what you're doing is not expanding the kingdom of God, it's all about you. If what you're doing, if your purpose is not adding to the kingdom, It's all about you. If your life, as you walk this walk, and redirect myself, as you walk this walk, two things are happening on a daily basis. Either you're discipling somebody or you're disabling somebody. Somebody will go to heaven because of you, or somebody will go to hell because of you. If your life is a billboard, what is the world reading about you? Is the world still reading your afflictions, or is it reading your deliverance?
Amen.
Does the world still see a hoe, a crackhead, a whore, a tramp, a cheater? Or does it say, you know what? That's what they were. But this is what they became in Christ.
Amen.
Now the world calls you by your name, not your affliction. And we got too many folks in the body who are still walking around afflicted and not delivered. And I got a news flash for you this morning. God does not partway deliver. The Bible says, who the Son sets free
is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Yes.
And with me so far.
Amen.
God does not, that's like saying God partway saves. God does not partway save. Either you're saved or you're not. Mm-hmm. Either you're a saint or you're an ain't.
Amen.
An ain't cannot pretend to be a saint no more than a saint can pretend to be an ain't. Right about so far.
Come on.
So watch this thing. So Christ gave an unprecedented assignment. This assignment, well, look at the verse, it says, go home and tell your story. Go home and tell your story. No doubt the man thought that, thought the way we do. Who in my family will believe me after the life that I lived? Who in my family want to hear me after the life that I lived? Who want to hear my family? You know, your family won't listen to you because they still know how you live it now. Ain't got to do with Jesus. And they still too much devil in you. Amen. How you going to tell me about how good God is and I still see the devil in you?
Well.
Come on, man. You need to get your life together, and your life is in shambles.
Amen.
No, I'm trying to focus.
Come on now, come on.
So the man thought like we do. Who in my family will believe me after the life I live? But that's exactly the point. If you can win those souls who knew you win, if you can win those folks who knew you win, who knew you win, you picked up stuff that didn't belong to you. You wasn't supposed to be smoking. Drinking stuff wasn't supposed to be drinking. Having sex with folks you wasn't supposed to be sleeping with.
Well.
If you go back to them, say, you know, I know what you used to do, but I see who you became in Christ. And the thing is that when you talk to them, they're not listening to you. They're listening to the Jesus in you.
Amen. Amen.
And their ears are open when they can see how you live your life in front of them.
Yes.
The problem is, we're too busy saying one thing, and we're doing something else.
Yes, Lord.
And your behavior cancels out what you're saying. Me, personally, I'd rather see a walking epistle than a talking epistle. Because you can tell me everything, anything you want to, but can you live out what you're saying?
Amen.
And being a child of God is not perfection, but you have more godly moments than you have sinful moments.
Come on.
And as you keep walking with Christ more and more, your desire becomes to see others come to know the truth.
Yes.
Right about it. How they come to know the truth by watching how you live. That you know a God that is able to deliver. You know a God that's able to change lives. You know a God that's able to heal broken hearts. You know a God that's able to comfort the lonely. But they'll never leave until they see the fact that the truth is living in you. So if you go back and win those souls that knew you went, because it's easy to witness to a stranger, isn't it? They don't know your past.
Yes.
The stranger knows nothing about you. But when you can go back and witness to those who knew you when, I pastored my church in New Jersey, I started my church in New Jersey, the first person that was at that church, and she'll be here in October, my older sister. My older sister only had one pastor. I only have one pastor, you. But she knew me. She knew me in my addiction. She knew me through all the struggles I went through, my homelessness, all those things, she knew me. And she said, I'm only going to have one pastor, you. Why? Because she's able to see what God has done in my life. It's not me. It's the God that I serve.
Amen.
I've learned the key is, church, is not turning part of your life over. Give your entire life to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not moments of it. It's waking up. God should be your final thought of every night, your first thought of every morning.
Mm.
Lord, thank you for watching that I slept last night. Thank you for a new day. Not good morning, baby. No, thank you, Lord. Why? Because a lot of folks laid down last night, had plans for a new day, and God cut them off.
Yes.
You go through the Bible, and I've been preaching this, I tell my brother this morning, 25 years. You go cover to cover, and nowhere in the Word of God will you find a deathbed confession. And the reason why it's not there, because the Christian life is supposed to be life that's lived, always prepared for Christ's return.
Amen. Amen.
You're supposed to be always be ready. Because if God told you the hour in the day, you would raise all the hell you wanted to, and then right before his return, you try to get it together with you.
Amen.
So I'm going to help you this morning. When you go out someplace and doing what you shouldn't do and acting like you shouldn't have, ask yourself, would I want Christ to find me here? And the bottom line is, if the answer is no, well, I'll give you a wake-up call. God already met you there.
Thank
right
you.
About it. Because God is everywhere. If you wouldn't want Christ to find you there, then what a surprise, God has met you there.
Amen.
So if you can win those souls who knew you when, who knew you when, my witnessing began, my ministry began witnessing to my family. Witnessing to my family. That's where I started at. Not outside my family, inside my family. Why? Because what kind of child of God would I be if I'm out saving the world and my family's going to hell? That'd be a sad commentary, wouldn't it? I'm witnessing all the strangers on the street. I got folks that I know around me are not living right, on their way to hell, and I sit on mute. Like I have nothing to say to them. And again, your witnessing is not what you say, it's how you live your life in front of them.
Amen.
Simple. Help you. If you go places around your family and the conversation stays the way it was before you got there and it's still the same way once you arrive, you know the words that people like to drop at cookouts? You know the words that you spilled out? If you show up and those words are still being spilled out like nothing ever happened, like you never showed up, chances are you didn't bring Christ with you. Because out of respect, not for you, but for the God that you serve, they will speak up. Don't do that because they don't drink. Don't even, let's put that away. Let's take our drink real quick. You know, go, watch what you say because they don't talk like that. If folks are not apologetic for their mouth in front of you, you might need to check your own mouth.
Mm.
Right about it. Is this going somewhere this morning?
Come on, amen, amen.
Wow. So, family are always the hardest to convert to Christ. They're always the hardest to convert to Christ. I'm not going to lie to you. Family is always the hardest to convert to Christ. Every Christian in God's family has a service to perform. I told you 2 weeks ago, you were not called to be the frozen chosen. Everybody has a God-given assignment. And God does not intend for his disciples to sit on their service. Stop for a second. A disciple is one who follows the teachings of his master. If you're not following the teachings of Christ, you're really not a disciple. You're just somebody that went to firing shots. You follow me? If you're not following the example and teaching of Christ, you're really not a disciple. If you're not a disciple, you're really not saved. Because you can't separate your life into two columns, my Christ life and my worldly life. Love of the world is an enemy towards God. So you can't say, I love God, and you still living like the world.
Amen.
We're supposed to be of the world, but not in the world.
Amen.
We don't act worldly. And that's Christian character. What's Christian integrity? Doing the right thing even when you're not expected to.
Amen.
That's integrity. Doing the right thing as a believer. asked me to cheat, but I choose to cheat, right or wrong. You may entice me to get high, but I choose to get high. Right about it.
Come on.
The enemy is the tempter. We're the sinners. His only weapon is temptation. And you know what his weapon is, and we still fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. I said before, if drugs does not appeal to you, he will never tempt you with drugs because he will not tempt you with it, does not appeal to you. But if men appeal to you, women appeal to you, he knows what your eye likes, and he knows how to bring her, how to bring them, and you fall for it every time. God doesn't send me an angel. No, God didn't. Because whom God sent is going to bring peace, not hell, into your life. The enemy, because he's from hell, brings hell and raises hell.
Yes.
Watch this. God does not intend for disciples to sit on their service, but we keep an open heart and an open mind or individual calling and be willing to go wherever he sends us. Our purpose is to meet folks where they are. Wherever God says, meet this person, our job is to meet people where they are. Where they are. We can't say, I'm not witnessing them, they don't look like me, they don't talk like me, they don't dress like me. There was a time, say it again, you didn't look right, you didn't talk right, didn't act right, but yet somebody still tried to witness to you, did they not?
Amen.
But we get so high-minded, and I'm happy this morning, only God sits high enough to look down on anybody.
Yes.
Only God sits high. Only God sits high enough to determine who's fit for the kingdom and who's not. And he'll do that on judgment day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have to be willing to let God decide where our light shines best. So I gave you three stark observations from one story about the Lord's power, his power to deliver us from evil. That's my prayer to yours. Do you want to be delivered from evil? Amen. I want God's grace to save me, don't you? I want God's mercy to forgive me, don't you? I want God's peace to comfort me, don't you? I want God's touch to heal me, don't you? I want God's miracles to excite me, don't you? I want God's voice to encourage me, don't you? I don't want to be in that number on judgment day using the stale excuse that the devil made me do it. It is the devil who blinds eyes, it's sin. It is the devil who corrupts our hearts, it's sin. It is the devil who pollutes our desires, it's sin. It is the devil who lowers our morals, it's sin. It is the devil who deceives our minds, it's sin. But I know a Savior this morning. But I know a Savior this morning who is able to clean us up and to present us faultless before his Father's throne of grace. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It doesn't matter what your sins are this morning. I know a God who is still forgiving sins. I know a God who is still delivering and setting folks free this morning. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions. The problem is, he keeps removing them, we keep turning back to him.
Amen. Amen.
My God. The problem when the slaves were set free, they couldn't believe that being set free was that easy. So many of them stayed on the plantation. We got folks that have been in slavery for so long, you don't know what it's like to be free. You can't imagine a life where you're not bound by something or someone. Because you're used to being a slave to sin. You can't imagine a life with no drama. And the problem that we have in the church, we got too many drama kings and queens.
Well.
See, I called you by your affliction, not by your name.
Mm-hmm.
Your affliction is you like to bring drama. We got too many in the body who are still hoes, baby mamas. And I get it, that's my baby mama. No, she has a name. Come on now, get past having yourself identified by your affliction. Then you'll stop calling other folks by their affliction.
Yes.
So as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us, and will no longer have to use that lame old excuse that the devil made me do it. And the devil, using the devil as an excuse for the throne of God, will never be an excuse. Because the Bible says with every temptation, God has already made a way of escape. He says, resist the devil and he shall flee.
Yes.
Resist. Resist. He didn't say fight. He said, if you just resist, I'll fight the battle for you. The reason why we keep falling for the okey-doke is because we keep trying to fight ourselves. I can fight the devil. You can't fight the devil yourself. The devil knows the word better than you do.
Yes, Lord.
I help you. In the garden, he kept saying Eve. Does the word not say? And he got Eve because Eve misquoted scripture. Now she fell. Eve misquoted scripture. And you think what you're looking at the word is going to be enough for one who dwelt with the word? You do know that before he fell, that Satan was direct attendant upon the throne of God. Yes. So he was there with the word. So he knows the word, which is why it's very important that the believer has to know the word. You have to have word in you. You can't get by on your grandma's word, your grandpa's word, your mama's word, but my mama's been in church her whole life. Good for your mama. Just because you belong to the church does not mean you're going to heaven. You belong to the church. The chaplain's in church. They ain't going to heaven. You got to be more than just an observer. This thing is about participation. God loves a moving target. And we got too many people sitting in the church as the frozen chosen and not doing what you're supposed to do. But I help you. On judgment day, we all must stand before God and give an account. Everything will be replayed for the whole world to see. And you'll be caught like Adam and Eve. The reason why they tried to cover themselves, it wasn't just because of their nakedness, because they realized that their sins were exposed. And you have a time right now. You have time right now. No matter how you came in, you can make today the first day of the rest of your life. Even if you only have one day left, that could be the one day that guarantees that when you close your eyes here, your eyes will open in heaven. Now, you have some fools, I said that's foolish, but some people say that's foolish. I still have time to get myself together. Only thing you can do trying to get yourself together, you will die and bust hell wide open trying to get yourself together. I realized I could not get myself, guys. You know what, Lord? I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm turning my life over to you. Turn my life over to you. My entire life over to you. And I had to learn to keep my hands and my head out of it. I really did. And what happens is that he's able to take you from wherever you are at the lowest point to higher heights than you ever imagined in your life. That's what he does. He wants to meet you where you are. So you know what? No matter where you are, the best part about the God that we serve, as long as there's breath in your lungs, the end of your story has not arrived yet. There's still more to read to the chapter of your life. Just because you can't see beyond today, God is already going into your tomorrow. He's already taking care of your tomorrow today. But the problem having a body is that we look into tomorrow and we'll lose today. What about tomorrow's problems? You're not guaranteed to see tomorrow. So you're going to lose today's joy worrying about a day you may not see. I thank God. I have learned to live every day like it's my last because one day I'm going to be right. I live every day like it's my last. We have a good time every day. Why? Because at some point we're going to be right. That's our last day. And you really have to start living life the way, okay, if this is my last day, have I left anything undone for God? Have I not witnessed somebody that God put in my path? Or did I turn them away? Did I talk about somebody that God wanted me to witness to? Did I put somebody down that God wanted me to witness to? The Bible says, remember, be careful because you may be unaware, not even be aware of the fact you're entertaining angels. So God may be sending an angel just to show you who you really are. You may think you're here spiritually, in reality, you're actually somewhere down here. Because I think we're up here, that we're real close to heaven. No, you're actually somewhere right here. How do you know? Because you still call people by their afflictions. You still let folk call you by your affliction. Stand, please. Stand. Amen. Stand. Those are the